Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, November 16, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. And starting at halfway through verse 10, we begin the rest of chapter 3. All of chapter 4, chapter 5, the greatest teaching in the Word of God defining virtue love. And we haven't even, we're just hitting the very beginning. We got so much, there is so much here. Now I'm over a chapter ahead of all of you in here, and it's absolutely fantastic. And you're going to learn so much about, this is the ultimate objective that God has for every single one of us. It starts out with who and what God is. God is love, but God is infinite virtue love. And that's exactly what it means when you talk about the attribute of God. God's attribute is love. That attribute is infinite virtue love. And it's right in 1 John chapter 4 again and again and again. And it relates to the entire plan of God is based on virtue love. Whether it's starting at phase 1 of the plan of God, Operation Grace, the cross, that's based on infinite virtue love. Phase 2, the believer in time, that's based on infinite virtue love. Phase 3, the believer in eternity, that's based on infinite virtue love. Impersonal love is a part of the attribute of the love of God, and it's unconditional, unconditional to all. And that's exactly what the scriptures declare in John 3:16, Romans 5:8. God loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. That is God's attribute of love. Infinite virtue love, and that is impersonal love, unconditional impersonal love for the unlovely, the world at its worst, the world in spiritual death and total depravity. That is God's infinite impersonal love for all. Personal love is a part of God's absolute virtue love, and personal love is based on, directed toward God's righteousness. God loves his righteousness with infinite personal love. God loves the other members of the Godhead, with infinite personal love, because every member of the Godhead has absolute righteousness, and God loves every believer in Jesus Christ with infinite personal love because he imputes his righteousness to us at salvation. And together, you have God's infinite virtue love. And it's clear, it's over and over again. And we will, by the time I get done with chapter 5, and sometime in the next 10 or 20 years, we'll get that done. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of the Scriptures to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, 1 John 3, let's start where the greatest teaching on the whole Word of God on virtue love begins. That's 1 John 3, 10b. Anyone who does not do righteousness, and that is anyone who does not produce right, grace, righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue. Grace, righteousness, the synonym for spiritual maturity as a result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Anyone who does not do righteousness, produce grace, righteousness, he absolutely is not a student or disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love for all. One part of virtue love. Virtue love has three components: personal love for God the Father, which is the motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of that, sharing the happiness of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we all believers, should love one another. This is impersonal love for all. Verse 12, absolutely not as Cain, who was motivated by the evil one, Satan, and he violently murdered his brother Abel. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his works, his offerings, kept on being human good and evil, worthless, totally degenerate. But the works and offerings of his brother Abel were righteous, grace righteous production. Verse 13, and brethren, royal family of God, fellow believers, stop being surprised, stop being shocked if the world hates you, first class condition, and the world does hate you. Now verse 14. We know that we have changed our residence away from death, cosmic death, to life, the spiritual life. How do we know that? Because we keep on loving the brethren, fellow believers, with impersonal love for all. Well, the verb there is agapao, and over and over and over and over again we're going to see this. The verb agapao and the noun agape. Agapao, A-G-A-P-A, long O, that's the verb to love, but it's used by the Apostle John for virtue, love. The noun that comes from that is agape, A-G-A-P, long E, that's the noun love, but this is in the Epistle of John. For the next three chapters, virtue love, virtue love, virtue love, virtue love, virtue love. Emphasizing, sometimes emphasizing the virtue love of God as his attribute of love, which is virtue love. And that's presented several times in this passage. And then it's also used for impersonal love for all mankind, and this impersonal love comes from the source of God because it's the attribute of God's virtue love. And therefore, he, as you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, it's his objective for you to have this virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So we have this over and over and over and over again. And we have another verb, and this is where most people who teach 1 John, they miss the boat. All kinds of pastors miss the boat entirely because they don't understand John's use of the verb meno. And it's usually translated something like abiding, abiding in him. And it's a special word used by John for living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. When you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you are abiding in him. And John uses this over and over and over again. Now we have it coming up in the next verse, verse 15. And I'd say 90% of communicators, probably closer to 99%, do not understand 1 John 3:15. And they, because they don't understand John's use, well, they don't study. They don't study from the original autographs. That's the biggest problem. And they don't. They couldn't even tell you that meno is the verb in here. But we will communicate if verse. If you read this, 1 John 3:15. Let's see. Every once in a while, I look at the English translation. 1 John 3:15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now that's the NASV. And I'll go to the NIV. NIV, 1 John 3:15, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. It doesn't say in him, it says abiding in him. At least the NASV translated meno, abiding, abiding. The key word in verse 15 and the second half of verse 15, the key word is meno. But if you don't know that and how John uses meno, then you will always translate this the wrong way, or you will teach false doctrine. You'll teach that if you murder, you can lose your salvation. This is not in the passage at all. There's nothing in this verse about losing your salvation if you commit the sin of murder. Every person who believes in Jesus Christ has eternal security, no matter what decisions he makes after faith in Christ, no matter how bad those decisions are. You can murder people. David murdered. David didn't lose his salvation. He's the greatest king of all time in the nation Israel. He's a man after the Lord's own heart. Not because he murdered. That was a bad decision. He, not only a bad decision, he got involved in evil. First of all, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite's wife. She became pregnant, and to try to cover it, first of all, he brought Uriah the Hittite home to try to have him go up and spend time with his wife, and he refused to do it. I'm not going to do it when my men are out in the field. That's not honorable, sir. I'm not going to do it. So he went back into battle, and then David decided, well, I'll kill him. And he had him put to death. And David murdered. He was out of fellowship with God, living in the cosmic system, making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And it got to the point for adultery, murder, and he came under horrific divine discipline. It was so great it had to be given an installment discipline. But he didn't lose his salvation. He didn't lose his salvation. And he didn't stop being king. God kept him as king. He was still the greatest king ever in Israel's history. And after the Absalom revolution, he was restored back in the palace as king with greater blessings than ever before. He did not lose his salvation because he committed murder. So this is obviously not what this is saying. And yet most communicators totally miss this. But they miss it because meno. They don't understand John's use of the verb meno. Well, you should by now. You've heard me say this at least 5 million times. So it ought to get through. But it won't get through some of you, but not all of you. But, you know, I can't. It's not the age of miracles, you know. But I will keep plodding along and teaching you. So we have agapao in 1 John 3:14, to love. And it's used by the Apostle John for virtue love. Sometimes virtue love as the attribute of God, his infinite virtue love as his attribute. Sometimes virtue love as the ultimate objective for the spiritual life of the believer in the church age, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. In our verse in 1 John 3:14, it's used of impersonal love for all. Agapao is used by John to describe love that is produced in the believer's life when he is living the unique spiritual life of the church age. This love is the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It's the result of spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is agape, virtue love. And then there's a whole grocery list of things following it, but they all relate to the very first word, agape, virtue love. So the result of the filling of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. And then joy, and joy plus H, happiness. That's the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ, which is also a part of virtue love. It is the result of spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. 1 Peter 1:22, which says, since you have by means of obedience to the truth, consistently and faithfully metabolized doctrine, you have purified your souls with an unhypocritical love of the brethren. Therefore, fervently love one another from the heart. Impersonal love for all. When the believer lives a spiritual life and attains spiritual maturity, then virtue love is brought to completion in his heart. Maximum personal love for God the Father, which is the great motivational virtue for your spiritual life. Maximum impersonal love for all mankind, the functional virtue of the spiritual life. And occupation with Jesus Christ. Walking in the light of the spiritual life produces impersonal love for all. Living in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system produces hate for the brethren, and that's coming up in verse 15. The spiritually adult believer has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, and John has already taught this in 1 John 2, verse 5. But if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, the mandates of the Word of God, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. He's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. He has developed personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. And therefore, he loves all members of the royal family of God with impersonal love. He loves all fellow believers. The good, the bad, the ugly, the obnoxious, the repugnant. I tried to come up with as many words as I could. And he loves them all with impersonal love. He has attained grace righteousness. That's spiritual maturity emphasizing maximum honor. Honor and virtue and integrity in his heart. He loves all believers with impersonal love because he has grace, righteousness, virtue, honor, integrity. Impersonal love for all is an unconditional love. Impersonal love is the solution to all people problems. Impersonal love can love the unlovely, the repugnant, the obnoxious, because impersonal love is based on virtue, honor, and integrity. And that's this is God is virtue love. That is the attribute of God. God is love, and how can he love the world? Spiritually dead and totally depraved. He has impersonal love for all. But what's the key to impersonal love? Virtue. And God has infinite virtue. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And that absolute righteousness and perfect justice enables God in his attribute of virtue love to love the world with impersonal love when the world is at its total worst, spiritually dead and totally depraved. Because God is absolute righteousness. The key to impersonal love is the one doing the loving. And God is perfect, his righteousness is perfect, and that's the basis for his impersonal love to the entire world in Operation Grace the Cross. We know that we have changed our residence away from death, cosmic death, to life, living the spiritual life, because we keep on loving the brethren, impersonal love for all. Anyone who does not love all fellow believers with impersonal love. He keeps on remaining in cosmic death, Satan's cosmic system. And here we have agapao with the negative me. And when you have agapao with the negative me, these believers are not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Instead, they are living in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. These believers have no spiritual life, no filling of the Spirit, no fellowship with God. Instead, they are grieving the Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. They are quenching the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Consequently, they have no ability, no power to love all the royal family with impersonal love, because they have no virtue, no honor, no integrity, no filling of the Spirit, no spiritual life. They cannot love the unlovely. They cannot love the obnoxious or the repugnant, because there is no virtue, no honor, no integrity in Satan's cosmic system. He cannot love all fellow believers with impersonal love because he keeps on abiding in Satan's cosmic system. He is in cosmic death. And sadly to say, today in America, and I love my nation, I love America, and I wear, I have some patriotic shirts I wear as much. If I'm going out to eat, I try to wear that those patriotic shirts. And I will say, now there's a couple of restaurants that I can, I know the restaurants where the conservatives come. Because we'll be eating dinner, and by the way, if you didn't know anything about Fleming, Peter Fleming, he is extremely, extremely conservative. And he supports conservative causes. That's one of the reasons I go to Fleming's. And we've gone there so many times, we have our own table. And we were sitting down and getting started, and this fellow came up and he says, and Debbie would tell me, this that guy over there, he's looking at you. And I said, well, I'll tell him I'm married. You know. That guy over there, he's looking at you. And he came up and he goes, I just have to say, I really like your shirt. I said, well, you can't have it. I said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. But that goes on all the time. And I have different ones I wear, and I wear them because I love America. I really do love this nation. And it breaks my heart that our nation is in apostasy, and our nation has turned away from God and turned away from the Word of God. And unfortunately, most believers today keep on remaining in cosmic death. They keep on residing in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. They are very arrogant, very self-centered, preoccupied with themselves, and therefore in interlocking systems of arrogance, cosmic one. They have antagonism and hatred toward God, the Word of God, toward many fellow believers because of interlocking systems of hatred, cosmic two. Instead of loving all fellow believers with virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, they have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward fellow believers. And this prepares us for verse 15. They hate their fellow believers. They commit mental murder and verbal assassination through sins of the tongue. And this is the result of cosmic death. So again, the last half of verse 14, anyone who does not love all fellow believers with impersonal love keeps on remaining in the sphere of cosmic death, Satan's cosmic system. One, that phrase, anyone who does not love his fellow believer, that phrase is referring specifically to the mental attitude sin of hate in our context, and that's coming up in the next verse, verse 15. It starts out in verse 15. Anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer. So that's the first part of the next verse. So the phrase, anyone who does not love his fellow believer, is referring specifically to the mental attitude sin of hate in our context here. And that's 1 John 3, verse 15. Two, when you hate other believers, you are living in Satan's cosmic system. You are in cosmic death. You're not living the spiritual life. You have no spiritual life. You have no filling of the Spirit. You're grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. When you hate other believers, you are living in Satan's cosmic system. Three, you are in cosmic death. And we studied the eight categories of death that are in the Word of God. We studied those in detail. But you are in cosmic death. Four, hate is the antithesis of virtue love. Hate is the antithesis of virtue love. Five, having the mental attitude sin of hate toward fellow believers is an obvious sign that you are in cosmic death. You are living in Satan's cosmic system. You're not living the spiritual life. Having the mental attitude sin of hate toward fellow believers is an obvious sign that you're in cosmic death. You're living in the cosmic system. Six, if you hate your fellow believers, it makes no difference how obnoxious or repugnant that person is. If you hate a fellow believer, you have no spiritual life. You have no filling of the Spirit. You have no fellowship with God. You have no spiritual life, no filling of the Spirit, no fellowship with God. Seven, impersonal love is God's problem-solving device for all the problems of people testing, system testing, and what's the first system in system testing? Marriage. It's the problem-solving device for all the problems in marriage. If virtue love is brought to completion in your heart, you will do fantastic in marriage. You will be able to clear all of the hurdles of people testing and or system testing in marriage. And that's why if you're single, the most important thing for you is to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow up and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That, do it before you get married. And then you have that virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Well, you're all set. And then you can consider marriage. You don't have to get married. There's nowhere in the Bible that says thou must get married. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. And I have a lot of people I know are great, great believers, and they never got married. Some of them have transferred from time to eternity, absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. But just because there's nowhere in the Bible that says you must get married. There is a mandate in the Bible love one another with impersonal love for all. That is a mandate in the Word of God. So impersonal love is God's problem-solving device for all the problems of people testing, system testing, marriage. 8. Impersonal love is the most important function of the Royal Family Honor Code. The most important function of the Royal Family Honor Code. Nine. It is impossible to love your fellow believers with impersonal love when you are in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system. It's impossible to love your fellow believers with impersonal love when you are in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system. 10. Impersonal love only functions when you are walking in the light, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. The spiritual life that God has for us is walking in the light. Impersonal love only functions when you are walking in the light, living the spiritual life by the spiritual scales. 11. Prolonged living in the sphere of cosmic death results in maximum divine discipline of the sin unto death. So you don't want to go there. Life's too short for that. And I can't tell you how many people they've run out of options. They've run out of options. And by the way, suicide is increasing everywhere in this country. All over. It's all over the United States of America. This is suicide by Christians. Why? They've run out of options. They've gotten into Satan's cosmic system. They're in cosmic death. They get there all different kinds of ways. Some get there through alcoholism and drugs. Some get there in Las Vegas from gambling. There's several different addictions in this city. There are people that commit suicide in this city who have become alcoholics, drug addicts, and they're gambling addicts. And they've lost their health, they've lost their marriage, they've lost their family, they've lost all their money. All their money. In fact, we just got a phone call. Someone we know says that they want to commit suicide. They want to die. Person tried to call about 20 times. Debbie said, "This is very strange." I said, "You need to answer it." I said, "I think he's suicidal." Sure enough, she answered it, and that was exactly it. Suicidal. You run out of options. He's a gambling addict. He lost everything. All of his money, all of his finance, all his wealth. Lost everything. He's lost his health, has lost his marriage, lost his family, lost everything through alcohol, drugs, and gambling. But it could be any. It could be lots of things. But what are you doing? You're living in the cosmic system. There's no virtue in the cosmic system. There's no virtue love in the cosmic system. And this goes on, and it's getting worse and worse and worse in our country. People are committing suicide. I know pastors whose sons committed suicide. So prolonged living in the sphere of cosmic death results in maximum divine discipline of the sin unto death. Recovery from the sphere of cosmic death is only accomplished through the problem-solving device of rebound, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. Now, once the believer rebounds, he must use self-motivation to consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine. And self-motivation, a little bit of a misnomer. Where's that motivation come from? By the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God in your heart. It also demands positive volition and humility, respect for the authority of God, the Word of God, and the pastor who teaches the Word of God. Every time the believer sins, he re-enters the cosmic system and cosmic death, and therefore he must continue to use the problem-solving device of rebound and get back into the spiritual life. As he lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and grows up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then he must clear all the spiritual hurdles of momentum testing, people testing, system testing, thought testing, disaster testing. So again, verse 14, we know that we have changed our residence away from death, cosmic death, to life, the spiritual life, because we keep on loving the brethren. Impersonal love for all believers. Anyone who does not love all fellow believers with impersonal love keeps on remaining in the sphere of cosmic death, Satan's cosmic system. All right, now that brings us to verse 15, the implications. The implications of cosmic death and living in the cosmic system. The implications of cosmic death and living in the cosmic system, 1 John 3, verse 15. It starts out and says, whoever hateth his brother. We always start with the King James. Whoever hateth his brother. This is the adjective pos plus the articular present active participle of miseo plus the accusative singular of adelphos with a definite article plus the genitive singular of autos. Now, pos is an adjective, and many times it functions as an adjective. Sometimes it's substantival. P-A-S. As an adjective, it means every or each or all. But it also is used substantively. That means it functions as a noun, and that's how it's used here in 1 John 3:15. And when it's used substantively, it should be translated anyone or everyone. We will translate it anyone. It is combined with the articular present active participle of miseo. M-I-S-E long O, miseo. A couple of points on miseo. First of all, miseo means to hate, to persecute in hatred, to detest, to abhor. To hate, to persecute in hatred, to detest, to abhor. The articular participle is substantival. That means it functions as a noun. And so you translate it, the one who hates. But when you combine it with pos, as it is in our verse, you would translate it, anyone who hates, or everyone who hates. We'll translate it, anyone who hates. 2.2. Believers in cosmic death, living in the cosmic system, are entrapped. Entrapped in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Believers in cosmic death, living in the cosmic system, are entrapped in interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. Three, they have no spiritual life. They have no filling of the Spirit. They have no fellowship with God. But they're believers in Jesus Christ. They have eternal security. They will live with God forever in heaven. Four, they are very arrogant and self-centered. That's interlocking systems of arrogance. They have antagonism and hatred toward God, toward the Word of God, toward fellow believers. That's interlocking systems of hatred. So they are very arrogant and self-centered, interlocking systems of arrogance. They have antagonism and hatred toward God, Bible doctrine, and fellow believers, interlocking systems of hatred. And then we have Adelphos. A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. Adelphos. Literally, it means brother, but in the New Testament epistles, it's used as a technical term. Most of the time, it's a technical term for the royal family of God, fellow believers in the church age saints. Intensive pronoun autos is used as the third person personal pronoun his. So the corrected translation, anyone who hates his fellow believer, anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer. This is the present active indicative of the to be verb eimi plus the nominative singular of anthropoktonos. Eimi E-I-M-I, that's the Greek to be verb. The present tense is a nomic present. There is a timelessness to this use of the present. It does not present action that is in progress, but rather it makes a statement of general timeless fact. That's the nomic present. The active voice, the believer in the sphere of cosmic death, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting a principle of absolute truth from the Word of God. And then we have anthropoktonos. Barely got that on there. A-N-T-H-R long O P-O-K-T-O-N-O-S. Anthropoktonos. Oh, yeah. I wonder where that went. Now, anthropoktonos, let's get a couple of points on this one. First of all, it is a compound word from anthropos, that's man, and kateno. Kateno is the verb to kill. So, anthropos plus kateno. To put to death or to kill. So point two, it literally means to kill a man. That's its literal meaning, to kill a man. Three, this is the Greek word for committing murder. The Greek word for committing murder. Now, it's very rare. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. Point four, it is only found two times in the God-breathed scriptures, and both times it is used by the Apostle John. It's found in our verse, 1 John 3:15, and it's also found in the Gospel of John, John 8:44. So it's only found two times in the God-breathed scriptures. And both times used by John, John 8:44, 1 John 3:15. 5. John 8:44. In this verse, the devil is declared by our Lord Jesus Christ to be an anthropoktonos, a murderer from the beginning. John 8:44. So the only other use besides 1 John 3:15 is John 8:44. Turn over to John 8:44. John 8:44. And the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and in verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, then you would love me." They don't love Christ. They want to crucify him. They want to kill him. "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now am here." That was as a result of Operation Grace, God's attribute of virtue love, his impersonal love for all the whole world. He designed Operation Grace for all mankind, that they would all have an opportunity for eternal salvation. "I came from God, and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire." Christ knows they want to kill him. They want to crucify him. "He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth." So he is defining the ruler of this world, Satan, the devil, and the Lord Jesus Christ said he was an anthropoktonos, a murderer from the beginning. 6. "Therefore, the believer in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system..." Satan himself, the devil, is a murderer from the beginning. John 8:44. "Therefore, the believer in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, is a murderer when he commits the personal sin of hate for his fellow believers." Therefore, the believer in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, is a murderer when he commits the personal sin of hate for his fellow believer. 7. "He is a mental murderer." A mental murderer. "As a result of arrogance, self-centeredness, interlocking systems of arrogance, as well as antagonism toward God, Bible doctrine, and fellow believers, the mental attitude sin of hate. 8. "The most obvious sign that you are living in the cosmic system, the most obvious sign that you are in cosmic death, is the fact that you hate your fellow believer." You have sirens going, lights flashing. The most obvious sign that you are in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, is the fact that you hate your fellow believers. 9. "The mental attitude sin of hate is mental murder." The mental attitude sin of hate is mental murder. 10. "The Lord Jesus Christ taught this in Matthew 5. Turn over to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 21. Matthew 5, 21. You have heard that it was taught to the people long ago, do not commit murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment, capital punishment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. You have committed mental murder. So, corrected translation, anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer, a mental murderer. So that's the first part of 1 John 3:15. Anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer, mental murderer. All right, let's get a few points on this. One, the worst of all overt sins is murder. Proverbs 6:16-19. The worst of all overt sins is murder. Proverbs 6:16-19. Turn over to Proverbs 6. In fact, there's only one overt sin mentioned in Proverbs 6:16-19. And these sins that are mentioned here, there are six things the Lord hates in verse 16, seven that are an abomination to Him. So there are seven sins here. The only one that is an overt sin, that is an abomination to the Lord, is murder. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, that's arrogance. That's the mental attitude sin of arrogance. A lying tongue, sins of the tongue, but included here under lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, murder. That's the only overt sin mentioned in this series. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And a man who stirs up strife, dissension among brothers, believers, through gossip, maligning, slander, judging. These are the things that are an abomination to the Lord. These are the things that the Lord hates. And He hates the one there that overt sin is the overt sin of murder. So the worst of all overt sins is murder, Proverbs 6:16-19. That is the only overt sin mentioned in that passage is murder. All the other sins are mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Two, therefore murder is an abomination to the Lord. Murder is an abomination to the Lord. Three, the overt act of murder is criminal, sinful, and evil. The overt act of murder is criminal, sinful, and evil. Four, hatred is mental murder, and it is arrogant, sinful, and evil. Five, every person has committed the mental attitude sin of hate at some time. Six, when you do this as a believer, you have hit the hurdle of people testing and you've crashed and burned. When you do this as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have hit the hurdle of people testing, and you've crashed and burned. Seven, you have failed to fulfill the mandate to love one another, to love all mankind with impersonal love. You have failed to fulfill the mandate to love one another, to love all mankind with impersonal love. Eight, we are commanded to love our fellow believer with impersonal love. And we are commanded to love all mankind with impersonal love. It is unconditional love. Unconditional. We are commanded to love our fellow believer with impersonal love and to love all mankind with impersonal love. Nine, impersonal love for all is the solution for all people testing. The solution for all people testing. Ten, you can only clear the hurdle of people testing by having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, 1 John 2:5. You can only clear the hurdle of people testing by having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. That's why we're here, 1 John 2:5. 11, believers murder fellow believers through mental attitude sins of hatred. That's mental murder. And through verbal assassination, sins of the tongue. Believers murder fellow believers with mental attitude sins of hatred, mental murder, and verbal assassination, sins of the tongue. Anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer, mental murder. All right. Well, we'll pick it up. We're really set for the part, a very important part of the rest of this verse. And you ought to be home free on this, because how many times you heard me tell you, agape, agapao, meno. This is what John uses, and you should have this. If you have that, you know exactly what's being said here, but in case you don't, I'll teach you next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.